Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black. For the next 3 hours, we'll talk sports and other things. Powered by Lloyd's Electric. How are we today? Thumbs up from Cam. Cody Mack.
Doing fine, John. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. How's your Tuesday morning?
Tuesday's off and running. It's fine. Tuesday's good.
Into Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, no, Tuesday's off to a fine start. No big deal. Just kind of here, man. You know what I mean? Just trying to get through the day.
Just kind of living, huh?
Just kind of living. Tuesday, yeah. Tuesday's a rough day. I don't really like Tuesdays. Tuesday is my least. I don't know like what it was 2 years ago whenever we did our power rankings, but like if we did power rankings now, Tuesday is probably my least favorite day of the week.
Yeah, I think it probably ranks up there for most people, and being the worst day. Now you could say Monday's worse, but I think Tuesday's at least in everybody's top two.
I appreciate Mondays. I've told you that I appreciate Mondays because at least you have like the new beginning. You're fresh, starting fresh. Like, hey, let's knock out some things. Let's go out. Let's get this week start off on a good foot. But Tuesday, I'm just like, nothing good comes on TV. There's not one good thing that comes on TV on Tuesdays.
Nope, unless you got a team in the baseball playoffs. And if you don't,
neither one of us do.
No. So
now next week we'll get the tip off of the NBA season. So maybe Tuesdays will start improving a little bit because usually you could find an NBA game on at that point, but nothing good like outside of sports comes on TV on Tuesdays. It's just kind of a waste.
Well, I mean, soon Tuesday will be gone with the wind. And we'll move on to Wednesday, and Wednesday is a great day. I mean, I like Wednesdays. Maybe you should start a tradition on Tuesdays so you could improve the day for yourself.
Okay. You know, I lived downtown. We'd go get tacos on Tuesday, but that was short-lived. That just didn't – that wasn't enough to boost the day.
Yeah. You'd have to start, like, some kind of weekly thing you do every Tuesday. Like
we power rank NFL teams on Tuesdays.
Well, yeah. But I mean, like, an activity or something, you know?
Yeah.
You should Tuesday start night. Taking, like, piano lessons or something.
I can't. My fingers are too short. B, my thumb broken too many times. It stiffs up, so, like, I can't.
All right.
My hands aren't good.
Maybe singing lessons.
A little too late for that, too. But I like That's where you're not headed. Too late. I like where you're headed. Maybe start a Tuesday activity.
Yeah,
but
like.
It's going to be hard to start an activity now in the winter. Sitting there, start getting dark pretty soon. You know what I mean? Like, so, I mean, like, after five, it's going to be hard to do anything outside.
Maybe
you can't like start playing tennis or something. That wouldn't be bad.
Well,
Tuesday
no.
Tennis. There's even alliteration there.
You could take up hunting. It's hunting season. Maybe start shooting a crossbow.
I feel like it'd be tough. Got to get up early in the morning to do that, but maybe I could do that.
You could do it in the evening too, though. The people that get really into it, they'll wake up and go early before work, and they'll go after work, right before it gets dark.
You know. I was looking at, you know, off my back porch and all those woods out there. I was like, kind of, you know what? There'd be plenty of deer just like rummaging around out. I could maybe just bow hunt right there from my porch. I was thinking about that the other day, actually.
That's your land, isn't it? Right there behind
Yeah.
I mean, you
wouldn't
could,
be bothering anybody.
I mean, could you do it from the porch? Maybe you have to put like a tree stand on into the woods a bit. I don't know. I don't know how
I don't
far
know,
the deer
get out in the deer get out in the yard
do,
sometimes.
Do
I mean, not, I haven't seen them in my yard. It's the first fall I've been in my house, but like at. You know, if you drive through the country, you'll see deer just kind of rummaging around in fields. And, I mean, it looks like a field down there. I mean, it's...
Is that hunting?
No. No, it's not. To me, hunting is you have to, like, put work into it and track. And, like, I don't even feel like sitting in a tree stand and shooting things or hunting. Like,
really, it's not. I mean, if you got,
just
like...
waiting, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if you got, like, a feeder nearby.
Oh, that's real cheating.
Yeah.
I mean, like, down, you know, like, on the farm, we have these feeders that we have for calves and stuff, right? So, like... If you just hang out near there, man, any type of animal you want to hunt will eventually make its way there to pick some grain and eat some feed.
Yeah.
So you could really just wait there. That's not really hunting.
No, it's really not.
Neither would be sitting on my porch and shooting, but it would be an activity at least.
Can you actually hunt a deer, though, in the terms of what hunting originally meant?
I think so.
What it meant?
I think so. You'd have to be really good, but you could find some trail, some poop. Get down and feel it and say, this is warm, I'm close.
Have to be very quiet.
Very quiet.
Very, very quiet.
Very, very. No, I think it's possible.
Just tiptoe through the woods.
Yeah.
Get eaten by a bear.
You're going to go. I know people who have gone and, like, looked and, like, oh, here's some horn markings where they've been rubbing up on the tree. There's a buck nearby. Like, you could do that and kind of get an idea of where they hang out. I think that goes into the equation of hunting.
You just have
maybe that's where people are putting their tree stands. I don't know.
Yeah. You just have to learn to do that, I guess.
Yeah. Or could just complain and be miserable on Tuesdays and just, then just.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe start, I don't know.
A new HBO show or something.
I'm out of HBO shows. I was actually about to cancel my subscription.
You're out?
I've seen everything I need to see. Like, there might be one I need to run through, but I was thinking, it's already through two seasons. I might as well wait till, like, right before season three comes on, then just kind of binge those and be ready to go just then. Like, there's only one show on HBO right now that I haven't watched that I'm kind of like, you know what, I wouldn't mind watching that. And that's Barry with Bill Hader. I was kind of like, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing that. And I guess I still need to go back and watch Deadwood. So I guess there's another one like I wouldn't mind watching. But right now there's no current HBO shows on. Succession ended on Sunday, so I'm ready to save that $15 a month.
What about The Righteous Gemstones?
Already watched it. It's over.
The whole thing?
I mean, the first season.
Yeah. I watched the first couple episodes.
You know, usually HBO is good at staggering this and, like, putting, you know, one show ends, another good show begins, and I'm sorry, but The Deuce ain't doing it for me. You know what I mean? Like, I can get by without The Deuce. I'll just save this $15 a month.
You could rewatch Game of Thrones.
Nope.
Sopranos.
I thought about going back and rewatching Curb, but I could do that anytime. Do that in the summer, maybe.
Yeah.
So I think I'm ready to cancel HBO. Yep. Kendall said she has to watch the last couple episodes of Ballers. I don't know why she watches that, but she's got to. I mean, I know why she watches it. She loves The Rock. That's why she watches it. But, like, I guess she's just wanting to get through. It's the series finale happened, so she's got to watch a couple of those episodes, and then I can save that $15 a month.
Maybe find something on Netflix.
Yeah, I've been doing that. Like, I mean, I've been looking around on Netflix, been looking around on Amazon Prime, you know, Fleabag, watched some of that. You know, everyone's critically acclaimed. It was all right. It's all right so far. I like it. Been watching this hip-hop, like, American Idol show on Netflix. I found it to be somewhat entertaining. I'm branching out. Not, like, actually reading or exercising or doing anything like that, but just, like, finding more things to watch.
Finding different TV shows.
Yeah, rotting my brain in different ways.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is 2019.
Last night's Monday Night Football game was kind of tough to watch. Not in the sense of it wasn't entertaining, because it was, but it was just tough to watch, like, and not feel like it was, I don't want to call it fixed, I don't want to call it rigged, but just, like, the officiating was about as bad as it could get in that game, and it cost the Lions a win. And that's a huge game. That's a division game. If the Lions can go into Green Bay and steal that on the road, the Lions might have been in the driver's seat of that NFC North, right? Like, I mean, I know they got a weird tie that's going to throw that schedule off a little bit, but that would have given them a win on the road against Green Bay, which is obviously huge for tiebreaker purposes, although, again, with a tie on your schedule, tiebreakers don't mean much, but it gives you a win and gives your rival a loss. That was brutal to watch. That was poorly, poorly officiated. We'll talk about that game. We'll hit our week six, our post week six NFL power rankings. Maybe we'll talk some fantasy today. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Talk Sports is powered by Lloyd's Electric Service. Commercial building maintenance doesn't have to be pieced out to different companies. All of your facility maintenance needs can be handled by one trusted Knoxville company with a service record that speaks for itself. Commercial, industrial, and residential, Lloyd's does it all. Contact them at 865-692-6700 or online at lloydselectricservice.com. Lloyd's Electric Service, your business, our priority. I don't know what to think about that game coming out of last night. I feel like the Lions were the better team. The Lions lost. The Packers win again. But I can't help but acknowledge that it was with the real assistance from the officiating crew. There were two just pretty bad hands-to-the-face penalties where it looks like the defensive end got his hand on the shoulder pad. And the offensive lineman either got pushed back and had his head pushed back or just kind of threw it back to try to sell it. Both of those ended up in flags. Both of those extended the drives. On one, it would have resulted in the Lions getting the ball back, up 9, late in the second half. Instead, it extended a clock. It extended the drive on what would have been 4th and 20. Instead, it's a first down, and the Packers score a touchdown. Which, by the way, that throw from Aaron Rodgers on that touchdown, it's about as pretty as it gets. Rodgers dropped one into a bucket from 40-something yards out. That was beautiful, but it shouldn't have happened. Now there's a clip going around the internet of the Packers getting away with 13 men on the field on a Lions offensive play. Now, I don't have as much sympathy for that one because the Lions would have had a chance to challenge that, and their coaching staff didn't see it either. So the refs should have caught it, but the Detroit Lions and Matt Stafford and their coaching staff, they should have seen it too, right? Like, I think you should notice if you're playing against 13 defenders. But it was just another example of an officiating mistake that the Lions had to deal with. But it comes down to wins and losses, and the Lions are 2-2-1, and in a crowded NFC, that might cost them a playoff spot. Last night was a bad loss. No ways around it. They can feel like they got cheated, but it doesn't matter. They lost 2-2-1. Whereas the Packers win again, first place, survived. What did you make of that game last night?
Well, the Lions used their timeouts perfectly. They got the stop on third down, so they should have at least gotten the ball back. Now, they wouldn't have had any timeouts. They would have had a minute and, I don't know, close to a minute and a half, I guess.
So. But in the NFL has plenty of time to get a field goal.
They would have had some time to get down and maybe kick a game-winning field goal. And I think it's ridiculous that they didn't get a chance to do that. I mean, that hands-to-the-face penalty was egregious, you know?
It was the second time it had gotten called, and the first one was just as bad. Like,
I mean, it's just guys battling. It's guys playing football, you know?
And it wasn't even one of those instances where, like, you're playing and your hand slips up on the face for half a second and you go back down.
No.
It looks like the hand never actually made it to the face.
It never went above the face mask. It never touched the chin even.
Yeah.
I mean, he was up. Yeah, it was high. But, I mean, that's just – I mean, he's on his pads. He's on his neck or whatever. I mean, it was an awful penalty. If I was a Lions fan, I would feel cheated too. But, you know, the thing they always say is, that, you know, if you don't want to – bother with getting cheated, have yourself in a better situation.
Sure. Like, you know, one play, we didn't lose this game because of one play. We've got to take care of business otherwise.
Right. You know, so if you can look at it two ways. But, I mean, it was obviously an awful call. Everybody that saw it said it was an awful call. Booger, he was freaking out about it. He went on with SVP after the game. They were talking about it. SVP thought it was awful. All you had to do was look and see. It's awful.
Everyone acknowledges that it was awful, and I wonder if we'll get to a point where that can be reviewed. Like, we're reviewing pass interference, which, you know, that's a whole other topic of conversation because we're reviewing pass interference, but we've only overturned, like, one. The last, like, 4 or 5 weeks, we've only overturned one. But do you eventually put it, well, hey, that's a big call. Like, it's maybe not a 40 or 50-yard play like pass interference is, but it was a huge swing in last night's game. Do we get to the point where we're reviewing that? Oh, actually, he didn't put his hands in the face. If they even did allow it to be reviewed, would they ever overturn him? I don't know. The officiating just has to get better. But either way, the Packers get to 5-1, which we talk about scheduling. And we've talked a lot about the Patriots' easy schedule, right? I do think we should point out that so far the Packers have had 6 games and 4 of them have been at Lambeau. Next week, they're also at Lambeau. So, like, they're 5 of their first 7 games at home. That seems weird.
Really? Their only road games were what, Chicago and Dallas?
Chicago and Dallas, that is correct. They won both of them, so they've been good on the road.
Yeah.
But I just think that's kind of wild that they're starting five of their first seven games at home.
They've played better teams, though, right? At least better teams on paper.
No, they've played better teams. They've played better teams. The Bears, Vikings, Broncos, Eagles, Cowboys, and Lions. All of those are
all pretty decent teams.
All those are decent teams, the Broncos being the least. But, I mean, the Broncos aren't bad. No, they've had a decent schedule. But just like I said, five of their first seven. The next week's against the Raiders, who are also decent. But five of seven at home. Which, if I'm a Packers fan, I don't know if I want that either. Like, we got home field advantage, like, out in the cold. Like, let's make some of these teams come up to the cold late in the season.
Yeah, put them in November, December.
Yeah, so maybe the Packers aren't even happy that they got five of their first seven, but it allows them to get off to a good start. Now, the back half of that schedule, they still have some tough games. They have to go to Kansas City, to the 49ers, then in their season versus the Bears at home, and then two road games to Minnesota and Detroit. So that's going to be a tough schedule to navigate. They by no means have a playoff spot locked up. They're still going to have to fight. Last night's loss would have been bad for them, but they didn't. They won. And Aaron Rodgers had a pretty good game. Like I said, he threw some really, really pretty passes. Passes that kind of remind you, like, oh, yeah, that's Aaron Rodgers. Like, we talk a lot about Patrick Mahomes. We talk a lot about the new age quarterbacks. The old guard can still do it when they have to. Now, Rodgers' numbers don't look great. They're fine. 24 of 39, 283 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. And the interception was a little bit behind him, but his receiver got hit in the face mask with it. Probably should have been a completion. Could have been a little bit better of a throw. Justin Coleman made a big-time play and picked it off. And at that point, you're like, wow, Justin Coleman's playing so good. But from that moment on, Justin Coleman started getting burnt. Like, he had played a really good game up until that point. He made that big interception, but then all of a sudden, he just started getting shredded.
We were cheering for him.
All of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers like, you know what, let's go to this Allen Lazard guy. Let's keep giving it to him. And that guy just kept making plays, including that really beautiful touchdown on in the end zone on the sideline. That bomb, that 35-yard drop in a bucket.
Yeah, where did Lazard, where did he even come from? I never heard of him.
That's what they asked him after the game. And you know, that's why.
Where are you from?
Well, that's why I'm not going to be too critical of the Packers, because last night maybe they didn't look as good offensively. But then you have to remember, their best offensive player not named Aaron Rodgers is hurt.
Right.
Like, Devontae Adams wasn't out there. And
Geronimo Allison went down too.
Right. And Devontae Adams wasn't out there at the end of the Eagles game either on that last drive. They needed a touchdown. And you know, we kind of take that into account. And maybe I'll just say their best skill player, because that Bakari guy is like an awesome offensive lineman, right?
Bakhtiari,
yeah. Like, he's an elite offensive lineman. So
he did a good job of getting the hands to the face salt.
That's true.
Tilting his head back.
So I don't want to go out and just assume that the wide receiver is the best player they have outside of Aaron Rodgers, because that guy's a stud too. So we'll call Devontae Adams the best skill player. Now, fantasy owners last night, if you owned Aaron Jones, you're probably like, man, we really should have tried to trade him after the Cowboys game, right? Like, we really should have been hitting that trade wire and saying, look, here's a stud running back, because he had an early fumble last night, and then you saw him pretty much get worked out of the rotation. It went back to Jamal Williams, who was good last night. 14 carries, 104 yards, broke a long run. Was doing his thing in the receiving game as well. Rodgers likes dumping it down to him. So that's going to be a little frustrating if you are a fantasy owner. But not as frustrating as if you are a Lions fan who is looking and saying, man, really? Really? Like, we're two plays away from being 4-1. Like, I feel like if, you know, Kerryon Johnson doesn't fumble going into that goal, you know, going into the end zone against the Chiefs, where he fumbles at the goal line and the Chiefs pick it up and run it back for a touchdown when no one else is playing. Like, that play, I'm probably like, man, well, if only that goes differently, that's a 14-point swing. If we get one call right on these hands of the face, we probably win this game. The Lions are good, but at a certain point, you're just like, man, you got to win these close games.
Yeah, they've been in several games where they you know, they should have won.
But at a certain point,
they had a chance to win.
At a certain point, you just got to win them. The Lions can only, like, you can be mad about it, sure, but you can only be so mad when you have to kick 5 field goals, right? Like, when you can't score a touchdown. I mean, that's begging to let the other team come back and beat you when you aren't putting them away with touchdowns. So, like, I only feel so bad for the Lions because a part of me looks and says, yeah, we'll score touchdowns. 7's worth more than 3. Which reminds me, shout out to Matt Prater. I was wondering, like, how the hell did Denver cut him? Like, Denver just gave up on him, and, like, he was out of the league for a little bit, and everyone's like, wait, this guy's a monster. And then the Lions signed him, and he's been a monster for them. Just 5 of 5 from field goals, just hitting 40, 50-yarders like it's nothing. Outdoors in Green Bay. Shout out to him. All right, let's put a bow on week 6 of the NFL season. We'll come back. We'll do some power rankings. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric.
Rankings. Go, go, power. Rankings. Go, go, power. Rankings. Fighting for big power. Rankings. Kings.
All right, week 6 is in the books. Time to power rank our NFL teams. Time to put them in our MySpace top 8. Cody McClure, what's your top 8 looking like after week 6?
All right. This is tough. There's a lot of 2-loss teams right now that are kind of appealing. Some teams that have gotten back to 4-2 that when you break down their schedule, they actually still look pretty good. I'm going to slide the Vikings in to number 8.
Congratulations to the Minnesota Vikings.
On my list. Congratulations to the Minnesota Vikings. Looking at their schedule, both of their losses have been on the road, you know, in the division on the road. They had a tough loss to Green Bay, 21-16, and then Chicago pretty much handled them. But outside of that, they've been good in every game. I mean, they've won 2 in a row now, beat the Eagles and the Giants, but I think the Vikings are starting to solidify things.
I think the Vikings
Kirk Cousins playing better.
I think they're a top 8 team as well.
Kirk Cousins playing better. Number 7, I'm going to slide the Texans up into number 7. I think they're going to be the class of the AFC South here as things sort out. Obviously a big win on the road at Kansas City. When you look at the rest of their schedule and what the Texans have done, I mean, they're 4-2. They've got some solid wins, you know, nothing too crazy, but they beat the Chiefs, and I think they've got a better win right now than the Bills. So I leave the Bills out, even though the Bills have one fewer loss, just because they hadn't proven anything to
them. Sure.
So Vikings 8, Texans 7. Number 6, I go with the Chiefs. I slide them way down, all the way from 2-6. And, yes, I know they just beat the Texans, or the Texans just beat them. Still, whole body of work. I got the Chiefs at 6. Number 5, the 49ers. Paying respect as much as I can to the 49ers.
Seems a little disrespectful still, but either way.
I understand they're undefeated, but they've played one fewer games than the rest of the teams. They'll get ready to host Carolina. That's going to be low-key a pretty good game, I think. Carolina, 4-2. They've won 4 in a row. Thought about putting the Panthers in here, but I didn't. Niners at 5, Seahawks at 4. I still think they're the better team in the division. Russell Wilson is the best quarterback in the league right now. But there's 2 better teams in the NFC. I got the Packers at 3. You could say they could have lost last night, but, you know, they didn't. And the Packers keep winning. So I'm going to keep them at number 3 and number 2. The Saints doing it without Drew Brees. They're not scoring a lot of points. They don't have to. Their defense is very stout. I think they got the second best defense in the league right now. But the best defense, my number 1 team, still the Miami Dolphins. Nah.
Bold.
It's the Patriots.
They did look a lot better when Ryan Fitzpatrick came in.
So that's my list.
So you got the Patriots at number 1. So you had, run it down real quick for me. You had Vikings, Texans.
Chiefs.
49ers at number 5. Okay.
Then Seahawks, Packers, Saints, Patriots. Yeah. That's how I'm going to rank them this week.
Yeah, to me, like to me, when, as I got ready to do these power rankings, as I get ready to give you mine, I feel like there's a big gulf right now between 5 and 4. Like I feel like to me, there are 4 teams right now I feel really good about.
Okay.
There are 4 teams I feel good about, and I struggled to find a 5th. I don't know if the rest of people, I don't know if everyone else feels that way, but that's how I feel. So number 5, I gave them the nod just because they won, and when you ran through their wins, it does feel like a pretty good group of wins. I know they've played a lot of games at home, and they won a game last night that they maybe shouldn't have won, but I'll give the Green Bay Packers my nod at number 5, just because they are, what, 5-1?
They're 5-1.
Defense is good. I give them credit for winning without Devontae Adams. If he gets back, the offense will look even better. So for now, I give them the number 5 nod, but I do feel like there's a gulf between 5 and the rest of the teams, at least for now. Number 4, I went with the New Orleans Saints. That defense travels. Now, we'll see what happens when they get Drew Brees back. Does the defense let up a little bit? Does Drew Brees' style of trying to score quickly, does that lead to either A, more mistakes, or B, just more time on the field for the defense, and does the defense kind of regress at that point? But right now, they have a dominant defense and an offense that has enough skill players to score enough to manage the game. Like they play they're a versatile team. They can win shootouts, at least we think they can with Drew Brees, and the defense can win these grinded out games against teams as long as our quarterback doesn't make mistakes. So I'll give the Saints the number 4 nod. Number 3, maybe a little weird because the Saints beat this team on the road, but I still think Seattle is better than this version of the Saints from what I've seen. You know, when they played the Saints, they got a fumble return for a touchdown and a punt return for a touchdown. A little bit fluky. I think if they played again, I would like the Seahawks' chances in that game with Teddy Bridgewater, either in New Orleans or in Seattle. I still think Seattle's better than them. Russell Wilson has been a stud, right? Like, Russell Wilson has been a beast. The only quarterback since 2011 to have a 100-plus passer rating in all 6 games to start a season. So he's played 6 games. He's had a 100-plus quarterback rating in all 6 games. Only 2 quarterbacks have done that in history. Tom Brady, 2007. Of course, that was the year where Tom Brady put a smackdown on the league through 18 games. Got Randy Moss, was celebrating, you know, with his emergence by just throwing him many, many touchdowns. He's done it, and Aaron Rodgers in 2011, both of whom won the MVP that season. So Russell Wilson looks to be the MVP favorite at this point. He is playing quarterback at a level higher than everyone else in the league right now, according to me. Number 2, a team in the Seahawks division, the 49ers. They just keep rolling. Like, I mean, they beat up on the Rams, and that was without their starting fullback and without their starting tackles. And you might say fullback. What does that matter? Well, that Gostkowski, or however the hell you say his name is, he's a beast. He's very versatile for them. He's a good pass blocker. He's a good run blocker. He's a good pass catcher. He is one of their best players, and he helps kind of open up that run game, as, of course, do their 2 tackles that were out. And it didn't matter. They still were able to win. Their defense has been swarming the ball. That's something they didn't do last year that they're doing now, forcing turnovers. I do wonder what will happen when the 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo get in a big game in a tight spot where they have to score to win, because so far they've kind of been able to just control the game. Now, I guess the Steelers, they had to put a drive together to win. That was back and forth in the fourth quarter. But every other game has just been them kind of taking control and grounding teams to death and suffocating them on defense. But for now, the 49ers are the second-best team. I just gave respect to the Patriots, even though they haven't played anybody, even though I don't have a lot of confidence in regular season Tom Brady. It's one of those things that I can put them at number 1, and I don't think they're going to lose for a couple more weeks.
I thought you were about to make the move with the 49ers.
No, I made the move with the Chiefs and put them above the Patriots, and then the Chiefs immediately lost 2 in a row. So I'm just going to – the Patriots aren't going to lose for a couple more weeks, so I'm going to keep them at number 1.
Might as well ride with them until then.
Yeah, I just have more confidence of them winning next week than I do the 49ers, so I'm not going to make that move.
Yeah, Patriots, they're going to cruise through that schedule.
Do we miss the mark on anybody, Cam? And did you is there anybody you think that should be put on here? Because at the 5 spot especially, like, I didn't – I almost wanted to put the Texans because the Texans have been good, but then I realized that 2 weeks ago they lost to the Panthers, like in Houston. That was a bad loss. Even though the Panthers have won 4 in a row, like it's still a backup quarterback comes in and beats you.
Yeah, the Texans would really be the only team I'd really think about putting on there.
Yeah.
Like, I agreed with you with the take on the Lions being the better team versus Green Bay, but, yeah, with them losing, you can't really put them on them.
There's a part of me that's like, I'm going to put them on there, but I was like, they're 2-2-1. I can't put 2-2-1. Like, yeah, eventually you just have to win games. I do think the Lions are frisky. I do think they're a good, solid team. And, but, man, you're 2-2-1. That's not good.
I think I showed a little disrespect to the Bills this week after having them at number 7 last week. They simply didn't play.
Out of sight, out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind.
I moved them out. But
it turns out that defensive performance against the Titans wasn't really that impressive.
Yeah.
They actually let the Titans move the ball against them.
I like the two-loss Vikings better. And I like the two-loss Texans better and the two-loss Chiefs better. So, sorry, Bills.
I don't think that's disrespectful. I think many people probably feel that way.
Chiefs are a really interesting team right now. I wonder what's going to happen with the Chiefs.
I know. Like, at what point do you panic? Are they panicking now? Because I feel like now, if I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan, I'm like, yeah, we're probably still going to win this division because the Chargers suck, and we don't trust the Broncos or Raiders to actually be good. So, like, I'm not worried about the division or, like, missing the playoffs or anything, but I'm like, man, this team isn't going to win in the playoffs.
Yeah, you got to start getting nervous a little bit because yeah, like, they figure out Mahomes. Because
I don't know if they figured out Mahomes, but, I mean, he's looked a lot different, right? Like, yep. I mean, you know, he went a whole – career without scoring fewer than 26 points, and he's done it back-to-back weeks. And
some say he's injured.
I mean, he might be. He might be, but he's also all of a sudden those bad throwing habits aren't as cute when he's throwing interceptions. And there was an abysmal pick he threw against the Texans where he was just kind of off his back foot, fling it with my arm 40 yards in the air. Oh, wait, this is double coverage, intercepted. Like, it's cute when it works, and it's phenomenal, but when it doesn't, you're like, hey, Mahomes, baby, man, you got to be a little bit more careful. Like,
I don't think it's cute.
I think it's cute when it works.
It's cute because he's got the baby face, and
cute when it works.
He eats his ketchup on his steak and all
that. You can't
get
over
that,
huh?
He's a smiling guy. Everybody likes him. He's always smiling.
Yeah.
Cute kid. You know, he's got that whole thing going.
I still like Mahomes. I'm not really ready to, like, bail on him or flip it to say he's annoying now, but, like, you do got to take care of the ball a little bit, and when he doesn't do it and you lose, it hurts a lot worse.
I saw some Cardinals fans saying this weekend, like, there were a couple of plays that Kyler Murray made,
yep.
And they said, you know, if this was Patrick Mahomes, you'd see it on every single highlight reel and just how amazing this guy is.
But I feel like as people are posting those highlights saying that, they're also kind of saying, wow, Kyler Murray's so good. So, like, it's one of those things, like, we don't talk enough about Kyler Murray. Well, you're talking about him right now as you tell us that, like, in showing his highlights. He's been really good.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, he's not getting that respect that Mahomes does.
It happened against the Falcons, bro. Like, Marcus Mariota threw for 3
That's
touchdowns against the Falcons. Like, I mean, that doesn't count the same.
He still had the whole escape thing, the whole spin around, yep. Circle back and do all that. And, you know, I mean, not all those Mahomes highlights have come against elite teams.
I think Kyler Murray's getting proper respect. He's still going to be a runaway Rookie of the Year winner, I think. So, at least, you know, they split up offense and defense. He'll be the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Like, I think your point's taken. I saw the play you're talking about where he kind of avoided the sack, ran around, and then threw a strike, you know, 18 yards down the field. But it was against the Falcons, and he does play for the Cardinals. So, like,
You know, it's not his fault.
But Murray's getting better. No, Murray's been good. Murray's been good. There people were worried about him after the preseason or, you know, after the first couple of games. But he, you know, not the first couple of games, I guess the first 3 quarters. Felt good about him against the Lions in the 4th quarter. But Murray's been really good.
Mahomes is playing with an ankle injury, according to the Kansas City Star.
Yeah, he not good for them. They go in a short week this week at Denver. They play on Thursday night. Then get through that, they get 10 days of rest before the Packers. I mean, that schedule doesn't get easier. At Broncos, Packers, Vikings, at the Titans, which, I mean, that's a game they're going to win, but, like, the Titans defense is going to get after them. The Titans defense can get pressure. Like, that'll be at least an uncomfortable game for them. They don't get a bye week until, you know, the middle of November, really the end of November. So that'll be they're going to have to figure this out on the fly, not a bye week to rest and get healthy. All right, those were our Week 6 NFL Power Rankings. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports. We are powered by Lloyd's Electric. Back in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, I got a little bit of feedback from our earlier hunting discussion. Foster says that is considered poaching in most states. My idea of just sitting on the porch and shooting. So I can't do that. That is illegal.
What's the difference in that and putting a tree stand out in the woods?
I don't know. I'm poaching, I guess.
If you're on your land, what the hell is the difference?
Yeah, or maybe he meant that the poaching was sitting next to like the feeding systems. Maybe that's poaching. Maybe that's what he meant.
These hunters have so many excuses.
That seems more likely that you can't just sit next to like feeding things. That seems more like poaching. Grit asked, "Can I even shoot a crossbow?" No, I cannot.
Yeah, you can.
I feel like I can learn.
I can do it.
If Jennifer Lawrence can learn, so can I, right?
Yeah. It is kind of hard to pull it back. You got to have a little strength, but...
Yeah, I got enough strength. I don't know how long I can shoot it, but I feel like a good
now they
30
got,
yards. I mean,
they got another thing called a compound bow where you put... It's different because you're like, it's facing ahead and you pull the... You got to pull the thing back.
The crossbow, 90 feet.
You just put
is that
your...
Hard? Is that long to shoot a crossbow?
What?
30 yards?
No. That's about right.
I think most people shoot crossbows like 15, 20 yards.
Yeah.
They're hunting, right?
I mean, I think 30 yards is not too far.
Okay.
I mean, you can hit a deer from 30 yards with a crossbow.
I mean, no, I'm just talking about getting the bow 30 yards. Like, actually being accurate and hitting something, that's a different story. I mean, I'm going to have to learn. I mean, that's a part of the hobby. I'm gonna learn. I told you I bought the golf clubs. That was going to be my new hobby, but I went to the driving range once, and I was like, nope, don't like this.
You should start shooting a crossbow. Buy you one of those targets.
Okay.
And I might do that. You just put your feet in the end of this thing, and you pull it back. You just put your arrow in. It's easy. It like locks automatically, and then you just hold it up and you aim and you shoot at the target.
So you lock it in with your feet. You pull.
It's got like a metal thing,
right?
At the
and then
end
it locks. But then, like, how do you undo it? You just click something and it shoots.
You pull the trigger.
You pull a trigger on the bow and it shoots. So it's not the same as pulling it back and holding. Because when I see crossbows, I see people pulling back and holding.
No, see, that's like a compound bow.
That's the compound bow?
Yeah, that's you put your fingers in this thing and pull it back. Like,
yeah.
That's a compound bow, the one that's arched, like,
the bow
vertical.
The bow kind of makes me nervous because, like, when I see people do it, they hold it, like, right next to their ear. You know what I mean? Like, they hit the eye right on it so, like, they can see as good. And then, like, I feel like when I let it go, I'm going to clip my ear and rip my ear off. That's what I'm a little worried about.
I feel like it wouldn't be hard to not do that.
Okay.
If you just don't have it right up on your face.
All right. I hope.
I don't know. Well, with the crossbow, you don't have that problem.
So when I was younger, I never wanted to hunt because I couldn't close my left eye. Now I can, so like at least a little bit.
You can't close your left eye.
I could wink with my right eye, but I'm right-handed. Does that make sense?
That seems like you're going to miss the target by a few feet.
So now I feel like I can open it. I've been working on it. That's why I never hunted when I was younger. I was like, I couldn't really shoot, but now I've been working on it for 20 years, and I figured it out.
You can't close it now?
Yeah.
I can't really close my right eye.
I guess I could have just worn an eye patch, but as a kid, you know, you're self-conscious about that, I guess.
Yeah, walking around with an eye patch
on.
Erg.
Yeah.
So. Just do the crossbow. It's easier.
How much are crossbows?
I feel like they're expensive.
How expensive is this habit to get into? Like, I feel like
you can probably get out for, I don't know, $300 or something.
Okay. That's not that much for a new Tuesday hobby, just all day Tuesday, just shooting crossbows.
I mean, I don't know what the average crossbow price is.
I feel like I should start with a cheap one to just learn. But I feel like maybe the cheap one will be hard to learn on because it'll keep breaking or it won't be accurate and I'll get discouraged. So maybe I should just buy a really nice one. That way I have no excuses. But what happens if I don't like crossbowing and I just wasted all that money buying one? What's the resale market like for crossbows? Do people buy used crossbows? Or is it just one of those things like, well, once you have it, you're kind of stuck with it? Is it like a boat?
I've got one I could let you borrow.
You have a crossbow?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just let me borrow one.
Well, I mean, I don't have it with me.
It's in Arkansas.
I don't have it with me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
do you actually have one?
I do.
Yeah, let me borrow it and test it out. If anybody else has a crossbow that they don't really like feel too attached to, that they wouldn't mind me practicing with, that's fine too.
Apparently, you can get some for under $200 at Academy Sports.
Okay.
Oh, really? Under $200? So that you get you some arrows.
Does it come with arrows too? Or is that how they get you? They sell you the crossbow and then you have to buy the arrows.
You get you some broad tips.
Probably
gotta
get some like attachments and everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Get some of those broadheads. Get you a big foam target.
Then I get me a big foam target.
Those aren't much. I mean, you can get a target for, you know, probably $50.
Then I got to pay somebody to go retrieve.
Oh, this one comes with two carbon arrows.
Two? Okay.
Well, you got to have the arrows and you got to have the tips.
And a 3-arrow quiver, a rope cocking device, and lube wax.
Lou Blacks. It's always good to have Lou Blacks.
Yeah. And it comes with
is that multi-purpose or?
Not sure. It doesn't specify. I think you'd have to, you know, test it out.
Then I gotta pay somebody to go retrieve the arrows for me though, like, cause I'm not gonna go get the arrows every time I shoot. I need somebody to run down the hill and get them for me. So I gotta put that guy on payroll and. You know, maybe just $30 or $40 a day. But
do you
still.
Have like a shed or something that you could put the target in front of?
Yeah, but not where I could sit on my porch and do it.
Well, do you have to sit on your porch? I feel like ideally, you should be standing out of the yard.
Well, ideally, I want to shoot from up high. That way, then in case it's also like I can practice like self-defense in case someone tries to break into our house, like overtake
so
our house.
So you're going
to
shoot them with a crossbow?
Yeah.
Tyrion
yeah.
Lannister style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather be high up shooting down. I feel like that's more realistic for hunting.
If you keep a crossbow in the house, though, then you run the risk of when you're sitting on the toilet, somebody coming in the middle of the night, opening the door up on you.
Well, I don't have any kids.
Tyrion, what are you doing with that crossbow?
I don't have any kids yet, so I'm not too worried about that. I haven't wronged enough people in my life. I haven't made someone resent me for their entire life yet, so that's not that big of a concern.
I feel like you should be standing in the yard, though, when you practice, shouldn't you?
I'm going to be standing on the porch shooting down.
Like you're up on a castle, like
yeah,
pretend to be like
exactly.
A, you should try that thing where you point it up in the air and shoot the arrow way up in the air and watch it fly down, like where it.
Oh, man, I'm gonna get me a crossbow. I'm gonna get so good at this.
Yeah, but be careful because if you shoot it straight up, who knows where it's gonna come down? You know, I mean, chances are it won't hit you, but it could.
I've seen things go wrong on TV at least with that. I've seen a couple movies and TV shows where that's happened, where they play some Russian roulette or I guess it's crossbow roulette and you shoot it up and.
Ooh.
Who can stay the longest without running type of thing.
And does it help to run?
I feel like it probably helps, but yeah, I guess it could. I guess you could actually just run right into it, huh?
You might be better off just staying in the same spot. I don't know.
Well, the idea is you shoot it straight up and it's supposed to come back down to where the circle is.
Yeah. I do love that in movies, though,
mm-hmm.
where like Game of Thrones and the medieval stuff where they shoot all the arrows up,
yeah.
and like they're in a war, and the horses and everybody's charging.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you just hear the arrows. Just arrows into the ground.
I'm actually going to do this. I'm going to get me a crossbow. I'm going to get good at it.
It's
kind of manly, right?
Yeah, I think so. You got to have some strength. I mean, you got to be a man.
Next time everyone like makes fun of my electric lawnmower, I'm going to say, yeah, so what? Come make fun of me on my grass, and I'll shoot you with my crossbow.
And I think you can...
You can run, too, because I've gotten pretty good at aiming, too. So go ahead and try to run from my crossbow.
I think you can set it with different resistance, too.
Yeah.
Where, like, maybe it's easier to pull back, but it's...
Strength training.
It's less accurate or something.
I feel like that probably makes it go less far.
Yeah, there's something... I don't know how that works.
I feel like the farther you pull it back, the further it goes. But that's just me assuming, like, force. And the more force you put into something, the further it goes. Like, it just feels like a law of physics, maybe.
Well, you got to be careful with it, though. You got to be careful.
Yeah, I don't want to... That'd be bad if I had an accident.
It is a weapon, you know, so...
Man, I'm going to get so good at the crossbow.
It is cool, though, to shoot things with arrows because you can see, like, boom, easy, right? Like, with a gun, you don't always know exactly where it hits. With an arrow, you see, there's the arrow. I shot it.
I was just told the crossbow is the least manly thing you can get. Really?
By who?
Like, what do you want me to do? Get a sword? Like, start sword fighting in my yard? Like, what am I supposed to do?
Well, a crossbow's easy because you can just shoot your arrows and, like, you're not going to hurt anybody.
So,
like,
well,
you can't just be out in the neighborhood with a gun.
Well, if you're going to... I can, actually. I live in the county. I can shoot my gun in my backyard if I want.
It just seems like
the neighbors probably wouldn't like it.
The homeowners association's going to be rattled, but with you out there with a rifle, just...
Yeah.
You know,
what good is that?
Keeps property values down.
There's kids riding on bikes and,
I want the property value to go up, though, so, like, yeah, I guess I got to play by those rules.
Yeah, you don't want to be out there with a rifle.
So a crossbow's not manly?
Yes, a crossbow's manly. Don't...
I think of the crossbow as something that's manly. Like, when I see... Like, when I watch those war movies, like, cool, the guy with the sword that can sword fight better is pretty cool, too. Like, don't get me wrong, but... I don't know. I did open this up by saying Jennifer Lawrence is pretty good with the crossbow, and...
Don't listen to the haters.
She is not a man.
Don't listen to the haters. The crossbow's fine. It's manlier than finding a new Netflix show, you know? And who cares if it's manly? It's an activity. It's just something to have fun, take some time.
It's 2019.
You can
gender norms anymore.
What's the whole thing about being manly? Like, if you want to be manly, you know, go outside and take your shirt off, chop some wood.
I did get my axe. I was going to say, I guess I could chop some wood.
Yeah.
What if I build my target outside with, like, wood that I chopped with my axe?
Or build your crossbow.
Or arrows.
That'd be really manly.
Can whittle down
all
my arrows.
All of it.
You know, I used to go to the stock barn and people would have those sticks that they would just whittle. You know, you'd whittle it down.
Well, I feel like
I could just maybe just whittle some arrows and then that would be more manly.
I feel like at that point, carpentry just becomes your hobby. Like you just start being like.
I'm just woodworking. I do have a wood workshop. You've been to my house. I do have that wood.
There you go.
Although we gutted it. There's...
You can be like Jesus. In that way, you know, it'd be hard to do some of the other things that he did, but you could be like him in that way.
Do pour my girlfriend a lot of wine.
Yeah.
Hour one in the books. Hour two on deck. It's Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric.